Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 18th, the year 2002, and Fred Strickert continues with his Bible study, Luke's Fascination with 40, and asks the question, and Jesus was about 30, why not 40? This is tape number STF-2002-04, and now let's go listen with Fred and the group.
Iowa, and this week we've been talking in Bible study about Luke's fascination with 40. Monday we started off with talking about the 40 years from the time of Jesus to the writing of the Gospels, and Tuesday the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness, and yesterday when Jesus was 40 days old, taken to the temple. And today's talk is about the age of Jesus, in which Luke tells us that Jesus was about 30 when he began his ministry. And with Luke's fascination with the 40s, the question is, why 30 and why not 40? And so we're just going to kind of look at this one little topic about age in the ancient world, and just see what kind of patterns there. I found some things that just kind of surprised me. But to begin with, if you look at world religions in general, I hope everybody can read this okay. Other great religious founders, figures in world religions, in Judaism, of course, Moses. The number 40 was very significant in his life. And biblical tradition tells us that he went out to the wilderness when he was 40 years old. He stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, had his calling at 80, and then 40 years of wandering in the wilderness again on the way to the promised land. So 40 was big with Moses, three times 40. And 40 is, you know, the ancient world is a long time. So it was a very, very, very long time for Moses. And in Islam, it's interesting. Muhammad, I don't know how many people have studied much about Muhammad, but basically he had his first religious experience at the age of 40. He was born somewhere around 570 A.D., and in the year 610, it was the season of Ramadan, the season of fasting, and outside the city of Mecca, he retreated to the wilderness where there was a mountain, and that's where he began to receive the revelations from God through the angel Gabriel. Those are the revelations that he would go back and recite to anyone who was interested, and they wrote those down, and that becomes the Quran. And that began when he was about the year, when he was about 40 years of age. In Eastern religions, there are different traditions. Buddhism, Siddhartha Gautama, the historical figure who became the Buddha, a lot of this, there's uncertainty about dates, and books give different kind of dates, but oftentimes he was said to have lived to the age of 80. And this is, it's kind of interesting because a lot of these figures in Eastern religions are there in the 6th and 5th centuries B.C., a time of real religious interest throughout the world. That's the time a lot of the biblical prophets, the time of the exile, a lot of things happening. In Judaism, the beginning of the Greek philosophical tradition, we could stick Socrates in here as well. There's a lot of religious thinking going on at that time. But Buddha lived to be about 80, and the tradition was that he grows up in this palace, and finally, when he reaches manhood, he wants to see the rest of the world, and he goes out and he starts to see suffering, and he reflects, and about the age of 40, he sits down under this tree and receives enlightenment. He receives Buddhahood. And so at the age of 40, what that meant was that he could move on to nirvana by receiving enlightenment. But instead, he decides to turn back. He's a figure to be referred to as a bodhisattva, someone who is ready for enlightenment, is ready for nirvana, but reaches back to teach others, to help others along the way, and so has 40 years of teaching. And you have some very similar traditions within the Jain religion, which is in India as well, a figure that's called the Mahavira. And maybe some of those stories have kind of crossed over here with Buddha as well. But what you see, and same with Confucius and Lao Tse, both of these figures lived in their 70s and their 80s and had long lives. And it's about the time of 40 that they really start their religious career. So that seems to be the pattern. And when we get to the figure of Jesus, Jesus is unique as a figure who dies very young. The verse is Luke 3:23. This one little small verse that Luke tells us that Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. And that fits in when we try to figure out Luke 3:23. The baptism was in the verses just prior to that. And then Luke gives us the age of Jesus. So this was at the time of his baptism. We're talking about when he began his ministry. And then Luke follows that with giving a genealogy. And then at that point, then that's when the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And he has his 40 days in the wilderness. And then he goes back to Galilee and begins preaching. So about 30 years of age. And it's interesting because, of course, it says he was about 30. And that's unique. This is the only writer in the New Testament that specifies how old Jesus was. None of the other Gospels really specifically say Jesus was so old at one particular time. The only thing that we get in John's Gospel, at one particular time, Jesus is in conversation with some of the teachers, and he's referring about Abraham and figures from far back in the past. And someone in the crowd says, "You know, how do you know all this? You're not yet 50. You're not yet 50." And when you look at that, it's kind of an odd kind of thing, because there's a big difference between 30 and 50. You're not yet 50. You're 30, but you're not yet 50. And that's kind of a strange kind of thing. This is a reaction of somebody in the crowd. Luke is the one, as the narrator, tells us that Jesus is about 50. And people have often just normally kind of neglect the statement in John. Say there's no historical credibility with that statement, because it's just somebody in the crowd. How do you guess ages? And you think about this looking around. If we did try to figure out everybody's age, I don't know how well I would be picking out all your ages and all. But 30, 50, and of course 40 is right there in the middle. The popular tradition then, if you look at the popular tradition, that has come down through the years, the idea that Jesus then would have been born in the year 1, baptized in the year 30, and then died at the age of 33. And people often predict or project a 3-year ministry of Jesus. And so let's say Jesus died at the age of 33. Although it nowhere says that Jesus died at the age of 33. And if you read the different Gospels, even the length of ministry varies, and that becomes one of the difficult things. If you look at the Gospel of John, there are 3 different Passovers mentioned from the time of Jesus' baptism to the time of his death. So it sounds like at least 2 years. But if you read the synoptics, it isn't nearly as specific. And some people have said, if you read even the Gospel of Mark, it could have even been kind of a 6-month kind of ministry. But the popular tradition is Jesus died when he was 33. Now, that doesn't work. When you look at the historical, if you try to figure it out, analyze it carefully from a historical perspective, the 1 AD thing just doesn't work out, because there's plenty of information that tells us that Herod the Great dies in 4 BC. Herod the Great died 4 years before the Christ. That's on the basis of all kinds of references and other historical documents, and references that he died at a time where there was an eclipse, a solar eclipse at Passover time, and you can calculate those kind of things out astronomically when eclipses occurred in that part of the year. And by coin evidence and that sort of thing, there's no question Herod dies in 4 BC. So if you take what the Gospels say about Herod being around when Jesus was born, that means that Jesus had to have been born at least 4 BC and maybe 6 BC or even earlier than that. It's interesting, and I mean, when Herod kills the boy babies in Bethlehem, who does he single out? How many boy babies? All under the age of 2. You know, and you kind of think, okay, that's right at the time of the death of Jesus, or at the birth of Jesus. But it could have been a couple of years later that Herod made this decree, and so he says everybody under the age of 2 is killed. And so that's why I put maybe 6 BC. As far as the death of Jesus, it's a little bit easier to calculate this, because we know Jesus died at Passover time. He died on a Friday. And Passover always occurs on the first full moon in spring. And that can be calculated back astronomically. You can calculate every year when the full moon occurs, the first full moon after the spring equinox. And then if you calculate that Thursday night was the Passover meal, that Friday then, most scholars today, I would say, would place the death of Jesus on Friday, April 7th, in the year 30 AD. Okay, so it's basically based on Passover and the death of Jesus. Back to the baptism of Jesus, Luke also does give us some information. The baptism is described in chapter 3, and when he starts describing the ministry of John the Baptist, he tells us that was in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. And he says, then John was baptizing. And we know that Augustus died in 14 AD. Caesar Augustus dies 14 AD, and his stepson Tiberius then takes over. If you count 15 plus 14, that would mean that the baptism of Jesus would have been in year 29. But one thing we know about the way they counted, sometimes they counted partial years, and that can be kind of confusing. So it could have been anywhere from the year 27, 28, 29, if we want to place the time of Jesus' baptism. So the age of Jesus' baptism, if you assume that Jesus was born, let's say 6 BC, he was probably 33 years of age. And then at his death, maybe as much as 36. And in Luke 3:23, it says, when Jesus was baptized, he was about 30. And there's that question about. When you say about 30, how much leeway does that give you?
10 years.
You say 10 years? Give or take 10 years? 20 or 40 is about 30? Or 3 or 4? So anywhere from 26 to 34, somewhere in there?
Depends how old you are when you're figuring
it out. When you're figuring it out. If you're 30, you can figure it out a little bit closer. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
What is the Greek word for about? in that passage, do you remember?
It's just, I mean, it's just a word that is, I mean, it's not, it's just means not specific. It's, you know, it's a general kind of thing. You know, that's all, that particular word. But it frequently shows up in references to numbers, to say that's a round number kind of thing. That's really what that suggests. But it's interesting how, I mean, often, you know, throughout history, we've taken this as kind of literal and said, okay, Jesus is exactly 30, and then he dies in the year 33. How many of you are familiar with that popular tradition?
Quite a few.
So, 33, 34, 35, 36, somewhere in that. But still, not 40, which still makes Jesus unique. Where all these other figures we looked at, Moses, Muhammad, the historical Buddha, all were really about 40 when they started. So Jesus is really young. As far as age goes, when you start looking at the Old Testament, when you start looking at the Hebrew tradition, is that that there was kind of a gradual shortening of age throughout the early years of civilization. So when you get the book of Genesis, from Adam to Noah, the average age is 900 to 1,000. You have these great figures like Methuselah and that kind of thing. And then Noah, yeah, which, you know, why would anybody want to live that long? Kind of think about that. And that's just amazing. Noah to Abraham, it's shortened. So a lot of those, you know, if you look at the genealogies, it's 200 to 600 years. And then figures like Abraham down through Joseph and actually Moses are between 100 and 200 years. But after that time, the general assumption is 70 years is the lifespan. Of course, that's in Psalm 90. The years of our life are 70 and 10, or even by reason, a straight 80. So 70 to 80 years is what to expect. That's, you know, that's the biblical tradition for a long, good life.
Were their years the same length as ours today?
Well, when we talk, I mean, back here, who knows? But I mean, once you get to the psalm part, yeah. I mean, generally, we're getting into the whole thing of calendar, and at least 360 days for a year. We're talking about the old time. They used a lunar calendar, but it still worked out to be about 360 years, so not that different. We get way back, who knows. It's interesting in the Moses tradition, if you look at, you know, and this is important since we're making the wilderness connection and Moses in the wilderness. When you look at the Pentateuch, the first five books, it's Deuteronomy that tells us that Moses is 120 years old when he dies. His eye was not dim, nor his natural forces abated. So you get this 120, which is this nice idealistic age of 3 times 40. 40, a long time. When you say something 3 times in Hebrew, something as triple as, you know, it's kind of the expletive, so very, very long time. And that's often divided then into three parts, 40, 40, 40. Although the Exodus tradition doesn't quite have it. If he died when he's 120, the tradition is, of course, the 40 years in the wilderness. So it's easy. You subtract the 40 years. That means when Moses encountered Pharaoh, then he would have been 80 years of age. And what we have as a reference earlier on is when he's in Egypt, and he goes out that one day, and he strikes the master of the slaves and has to flee Egypt. The Exodus tradition simply says when Moses had grown up, which is vague. I mean, he's an adult. And how old is he when he's grown up? Have you heard the tradition that he was 40 at this particular time? 40, 40, 40?
Yes.
Some people say yes, and other people know it. So, I mean, 40 years in Egypt, then 40 years in the wilderness taking care of flocks before the burning bush and then 40 years. That's a popular tradition, but the Pentateuch doesn't have that. So where does that popular tradition come from? Surprise. Well, it's in rabbinic tradition. But it is in one place in the Bible. And that's in the book of Acts. It's in the book of Acts. It's Luke that tells us that. It's kind of odd. And this is in Stephen's sermon. You know, Stephen the deacon becomes the first martyr of the church. And there he's before the council in Jerusalem. And he gives this long history. And he's fascinated with the wilderness tradition. He keeps referring back to when they were in the wilderness. And almost presents that as an idealistic age, because he talks about, okay, now that you're in the seventh life, everything's focused on the temple and this building. And he's very critical about the temple enterprise, and oh, it's much better back in the wilderness. And so he goes in a lot of detail. And in Acts 7:23, when he's going through the story of Moses, he says it was when he's at the age of 40 that that's when he ends up killing that that guard and has to flee. So it's Luke, which is really odd, the Gentile writer in the New Testament that provides that information. But it's confirmed, it's also in rabbinic tradition as well. But it's not in the Hebrew text. I checked the Greek Old Testament too. It's not in the Septuagint either. And then Acts chapter 7:30, he talks about the confrontation with Pharaoh, which is after the burning bush episode. And he, again, at age 80. And then two times he emphasizes that Moses was 120 when he dies. So Luke seems really interested in this 40. And so when he presents Jesus as 30, it comes as, you know, why he puts that information in there. In a way, it's kind of a surprise. So I tried to figure out what was there about 30. And it's interesting, back in the wilderness tradition, you have the book of Numbers, which is a census of the people. Moses is told by God to go out and count the number of Israelites they are. And it's an interesting kind of census because everybody isn't really counted, only certain people.
Right, can I ask, the
book
of Acts doesn't actually say he lived to
120,
does he?
Well, Moses,
he's
80, huh? Wow. Because you have 40 years in the wilderness. Huh. It does have the 80 here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look how young you are. You got a long way to go. Yeah. Okay. But it's interesting when censuses go. I mean, today, you know, a couple years ago, we just completed a census in the United States, and everybody is counted. You mean all the effort about counting every individual. And back then, they didn't count every individual. Of course, it's the males that are counted. And it's the Israelite males that are counted. And they went by tribe. And for the most part, it's only males over 20 that are counted. And that's defined as those who were able to go forth to war. So to be counted, to be important, was your fighting age. Your fighting age, age 20. And it's interesting because they go through tribe by tribe. So you have all these references, Numbers chapter 1, all these different references to each of the tribes and how many there were over the age of 20. All the tribes except Levi. And Levi, of course, that's the tribe, that's the descendants there that will include the descendants of Aaron. Aaron is the Levite. And these are the ones who have been selected to be the priests. So the priests are exempt from military duty. They're not going to fight. So they're not included in that part of the census. And then, if you get to chapter 4, Moses goes out and decides to count all the Levites. And then they have their subgroups. And who does he count among the Levites? He doesn't start with those 20, but those from 30 years old up to 50 years old. Those are the ones. Those are the ones who can enter the service to do the work in the tent. So if you want to serve in the church, the minimum age is 30, and when you're 50, and you have such a good retirement plan, when you're 50, you kind of step back. Kind of interesting. But 20 years of service is what was kind of figured in those days. And again, and that's repeated, you know, because there's all these different sub-tribes. But I mean, I find it fascinating that it's maybe that's the significance of the 30 part there. The emphasis on Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus was not a priest, but that role of leadership. And it's, I mean, it's fascinating today, too. You know, it's we talk about work in the church today. And, I mean, I remember when I was a seminary student, we had all these debates about we're ready to get out in ministry and that kind of stuff. And another 4 years, and a minimum of 26 years old to be an ordained pastor because of 8 years of school and that sort of stuff. It's kind of interesting how we still, you know, kind of have an age requirement that is not that different from what they had back there. And there's another reference. Now this, I can't figure out. I've got to talk to somebody who is an Old Testament expert, because Numbers 8, this was Numbers 4, Numbers 8, it talks about that is what pertains to the Levites from 25 years old and upwards. They shall go and perform the work and service of the tent meeting. Maybe it's, you know, they have 5 years as an apprentice or something of that sort, the difference between 25 and 30. And from the age of 50, then, they shall withdraw from the work of service and serve no more. To the age of 50. And, I mean, and what intrigues me about that, remember how we started out? Luke has Jesus the age of 50, and John, the reference to one person, John, he's not yet 50 yet. Is there something there about, you know, he's still active? Something about that 50, is that connected with that tradition? Other figures in the Old Testament, Genesis 41 refers to Joseph as 30 years of age when he began his service there in the court of Pharaoh. And then what's odd, he's 30 years old when he starts, but he's still in that patriarchal age. So they lived from 100 to 200. So he's described as dying at 110. So here you have him performing 80 years of service. So a double 40. 30 years when you start, and then a double 40. So he's 110. David is described as being 30 years. When he begins his rule, he becomes king, and he rules for 40 years. So he lives the perfect 70. You know, the Psalm ideal. 3 score and 10 here for him. So the ideal, 30 years beginning work and then 40 years. And Ezekiel, it's not totally clear, but the prophet Ezekiel begins by saying in the 30th year. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet who was at the time of exile, and he's in Babylon, and he talks about sitting down there at the river in Babylon, and the Spirit comes upon him. And he's a prophet, but he was also a priest. He's described as a priest, and that number 30 may be significant. And the assumption, I mean, I'm assuming here this is referring to his age. It might refer to some other 30th year. But that's when the Spirit decides to use Ezekiel. So it's interesting how you have a number of parallels here in the Old Testament. And maybe I'll just kind of pause for a minute. And I've just been throwing out all this data here. Anybody think of any other references or have any reactions or just bombarding with all this
stuff? You clearly are for the data. I'm going to put it that way. The data clearly indicates that Luke must have had not only some knowledge of this, but utilizing it in instructing his gospel. It's consistent with what you're thinking.
That he, I mean, he's aware of the Old Testament traditions and all. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of striking, because as the Gentile, he has the least amount of knowledge. He's you know, maybe it's been more of an effort because he wants to know the background of Jesus. So he's just recently, you know, really dug into the Old Testament to understand these things. So these kind of things stick out.
Well, his introduction and wanting to write what was as accurate as possible.
Yeah. I mean, it can be that it's just, you know, somehow in his stories of Jesus, he already paid Jesus about 30 and he just puts it in. It could be just as simple as that. But it could also be that, you know, he wanted to make some kind of connection here. He was old enough. He was of age and what was acceptable in that particular society. Let's see. I think most of what I have is, I'm just kind of going to go through, is on this sheet that I try to present on both sides. Just thought maybe you might be interested in keeping some of this stuff. But there's a little more with the Jewish tradition. From the Old Testament, that's way back. And on the one side, other Jewish tradition, I have the Essenes and the rabbinic literature part here. And Jerome Murphy O'Connor, who is a well-respected biblical scholar living in Jerusalem, put together a little study. The Essenes are the people who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. And studying in their texts where there's references to the age. And that's a community that existed as contemporary with Jesus. So what was their practice in that community? What did they expect of people? And that might be a nice parallel. And of course, the Essenes, maybe the majority of them, had come from the priestly caste. They were the protesting against what was happening in Jerusalem and left the Jerusalem priesthood to set up that community in Qumran. And then, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls are written. So in the documents, Essene suggests there's basically five divisions. Childhood is the time of education. About the age of 20, he considered the beginning of adulthood, including the right to marry. 25 is the age of responsibility. And then, age 30, a man would be qualified to be a judge. And according to him, 60, no longer able to be a judge. So from 30 to 60 rather than 30 to 50, which is what we saw in Numbers. And then I include here this reference here, a little bit more background, about the age of 60. Let no man be in office from 60 years and over as a judge of the congregation. For because of the unfaithfulness of men, their days are diminished. And in the heat of anger against the inhabitants of the earth, God has ordained their understanding should decline before their days are fulfilled. So the assumption is, when does that start to be diminished? And it seems like in Numbers it was about the age 50, and at Qumran they're extending that to 60, which is kind of interesting when we look at our Supreme Court in the United States. It's the average age. Okay, yeah, but anyway, it's just kind of interesting that... Now the next one is just, this is just doesn't fit anything. As far as what we found about, this is a rabbinic list. It doesn't fit anything because it goes all the way to 100. And at the New Testament time, I'll pause. Sure.
What are the references to CD?
CD is a document called it's Damascus document. It was found at Qumran. It was one of the documents found there. It was found at Qumran, and the interesting thing is, earlier, before the Seed Scrolls were found, there were a couple of manuscripts of this document that had been actually found in Egypt. But it's a historical document that talks about the founding of the community at Qumran. It's called the Damascus Document. And the reason they call it the Damascus Document is it gives the history of this man who was known as the Teacher of Righteousness, who had, some people think he was in line to be the high priest in Jerusalem, and a political kind of thing kind of shoved him out. So he's the one who then leaves Jerusalem. And at first he heads up to the north, an area around Damascus. And what's interesting is it talks about how he groped in the wilderness there, trying to find out what he was supposed to do. I'm just thinking, was it 40 years? Anyway, he wanders around the area somewhere up north there, from Damascus down to the Sea of Galilee, this period of time trying to find out what God wants him to do. And then it comes to him when he reads Isaiah, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. And so he goes down to the Dead Sea and sets up the community of Qumran. And so these are, you know, some of the basic regulations. There are a couple of other documents there, but that's what this CD is. Okay, nothing. The other one, a rabbinic list. One of the difficult things about rabbinical literature is that it wasn't written down until much later on. And you always have to be careful about how much was written in from later centuries. And in Abbath, this was attributed to a rabbi who lived in the first century, but it wasn't written down to quite a bit later. But it's kind of interesting how they have these nice, and it's nice round numbers going all the way up to 100. At the year 5, 1 is fit for scripture, 10 for the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is the Jewish rabbinical documents. Now that's kind of interesting. 10 years fit for Mishnah, 15 for Talmud. When you think about this, the Mishnah wasn't written until the year 200. Talmud wasn't put in writing until 500s. So, you know, we talk about the age of this. It's attributed to somebody living in the first century. But obviously, you know, it achieved its form 500 years later or something like that. 13, one of the few places where they get an odd number here, the fulfilling of the commandments. Of course, that becomes the tradition of, you know, the Bar Mitzvah about the year 13. And in Luke's Gospel, of course, Luke is the only one who talks about Jesus as a child at the age of 12 going to the temple there in Jerusalem. So, you know, it probably was fitting in with, you know, the time of Jesus' Bar Mitzvah, showing that he understood the commandments. Here it has 18 for the bride chamber, 20 for the pursuing of the calling, 30 for authority. So that year 30, that's kind of significant. 40 for discernment, 50 for counsel, 60 to be an elder, 70 for gray hairs. Okay. Some of us. Okay. I don't understand 80 for special strength. I mean, it's kind of vague. And what special strength? I mean, people who are 80 often have kind of a strength that you can't kind of put your hand on. You're 90 for bone, back, and 100, a man is as one that is already dead. One thing you notice about somebody mentioned, I think you were mentioned before, it's only talk about the men, of course. I couldn't find any traditions about women in ancient Semitic.
Women were possessions of the men, then.
Yeah. But what they, you know, if there was anything specific, there was absolutely nothing. So.
They're very shadowy characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, these documents were all written by men.
Well, we heard about Anna yesterday.
Yeah.
In 84, they went into detail.
Okay, we did. Yeah. Okay. Good. That's now one of the few that really give actual age. So this is what I was able to find from the Jewish tradition. Now, Luke was a Gentile, and when you look at Luke, or when you look at the Greek tradition, found it was kind of interesting. I don't know if I want to start with you, which is the best one to start with here. I think let's turn it over and look at the other side. I put in here a little bit of Shakespeare to somebody who Luke probably didn't use, but
he didn't mention that all the men and women were players on stage.
Oh, good. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, all the men and women were players on.
And then he continues to speak only of the men.
Yeah, yeah. But in As You Like, yeah, this is the favorite passage. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. That's probably pick up on seven ages. Shakespeare gets this from the Greek tradition, really. I mean, we think of the number seven as being biblical. And But what we're going to see is in the Greek tradition, the idea that seven is very important in dividing up people's lifetimes. And again, I mean, main part of that's connected with the year 70. But Solon, who is quoted in the Greek historian Herodotus, I set the limits of man's life at 70 years, which is exactly the same as the Psalm, Psalm 90. So the Greeks have the same tradition here for court as the Hebrews have. And then, let's see, let's look at Solon. Because when you take the 70, he then suggests that that it's not quite what Shakespeare has. What he has is there's 10 ages by multiples of 7. He picks up the 7 in a different kind of way. I mean, 70 is 10 times 70, so you can either do it as 7 ages of 10 or 10 ages of 70. And Solon decided to pick the 10 ages of 70. So in 7 years, the earliest breath a child puts forth his hedge of teeth. So we know something about getting teeth in early ages. And I don't know, it's been a while. But 7, is that when the full... Oh, okay, so that's pretty... Okay. I kind of forget that part. Yeah, okay. 14, when strengthened by a similar span, he first displays some signs of man. Nice little rhyme here, okay. 21. As in a third, his limbs increase, a beard buds o'er his changing face, which is, and that's a little bit late for a lot of men. 21, you have to get it nice. 28, when he has passed a fourth such time, his strength and vigor's in its prime. So by the time you're 28, that's when you're the strongest physically. 35, a man should think to wed at the age of 35. Now, that one other tradition had, what, 18 or something like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is, yeah.
So how old were most young women in your life? Does anybody know? Seems like 35 in those days would have been kind of late.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have county clerks in those days.
And that, or by the time 35, if he has to, he does start thinking.
Yeah, not too much time left, yeah. And, I mean, the problem is when you do something like this, it's kind of hard because, okay, we use 21 here, and we can't figure anything out for 35, so, okay, let's stick that in. How much of that is trying to make this nice? And 42, wisdom's clear. To shun vile deed or folly or fear. 49, when 7 times 7 years... to sense, add ready wit and eloquence. That works out kind of nice. But that's what's, I mean, here they really emphasize, okay, so you have 7 times 7 and the importance of the number 7. So 49 seems to be a very important time here. 56, 7 years further, still admit to raise them to their perfect height. 56. And 63, person's powers, though milder grown, still last at 63. And then 70, when God is granted 10 times 7, the aged man prepares for heaven. We get the 70, the complete number here. This is the Greek tradition. What I have Philo here, which is, I think, almost exactly the same thing. But the significance about Philo of Alexandria is that Philo was a Jew. And he's a contemporary of New Testament writers. Probably a contemporary of Paul. A little bit younger than Jesus. But he was in Alexandria, Egypt, in the first half of the first century, writing an amazing amount of literature that is preserved today. And I assume the library here, if you go read Philo, you can find maybe all of his volumes. But he was a Jewish figure in Alexandria, Egypt, who read Greek philosophy. And what he does is he goes back to, he rewrites the Old Testament as through the eyes of the Greek mind, the Greek philosophy. So he brings a lot of that kind of thing in. And in his writings, then, he also gives the 10 ages of 7 years each. So it's pretty much the same. I know, you guys notice anything different in there that he has? I know a lot of you kind of read through these already. And the final one, though, is when we get to Hippocrates, whom Philo also quotes. But Philo chose to, for himself, to go with the one that has the 10 ages. Hippocrates decided that to do the 7 ages. But 7 ages of beginning with multiples of 7. And so basically it seems like what he has done is he's taken that other earlier list of 10 times 7 and he's decided to omit 3 of those periods of time. And that 7 times 7 is perfection. So for him, the 49th year... Is that somebody? Okay, I didn't find somebody here. But, so again, the first 7 years, infant, again, emphasis on the teeth. Till 14, child, going to puberty. 21, a boy, till the beard, focus on the beard. 28, the completion of the growth of the whole body. Then 49, he is a man. And that's the word for man. But doesn't really say anything about the quality. And then 56, he begins his time as an elder in the community. And then here at 56, becomes an old man. The Greek word is geroi, which is where you get gerontology. At 56, but see, I mean, you know, what's interesting here is he's left out the 35 here, so that the youth is, well, yeah, youth goes from 28 to 49, and what's kind of interesting about that is that kind of fits in with the, in some ways, with the Jewish tradition. If you say 28 to 49, but the numbers was what, ages 30 to 50. 30 to 50, which is nice rounded off. And so, it's, in a way, it's the Greeks had a very similar kind of tradition. So what's the ideal age? Where's the best point?
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are, okay.
How old were they when they wrote these?
Yeah, probably older people who are doing writing here. We've had the experience. And, yes.
Airline pilots, for whatever it's worth, have to retire at age 60, so that's the age they figure they're starting to lose their abilities.
And that, yeah, I mean, that's probably based on a lot of important studies and insurance actuaries. And yeah.
We would probably modify this quite a bit today.
Yeah, I mean, difference, I mean, yeah. Difference in what we have is in the modern world from.
Well, I know at some point I began to lose it, but I can't remember when.
You know the 3 signs of old age.
Yes. Yeah. I got all 3 of them.
First is loss of memory, and I forget what the other 2 are.
Your question on this topic about Jesus, why 30 and not 40? Is there the answer then is nothing that's, it could have been 40. And I was just wondering why, when we know so much about Jesus, we don't know anything between, say, 12 or any of
this. We know so little about Jesus. We know so much about Jesus, we know so little about Jesus.
Well, was he really a carpenter?
Why does carpenter mean?
A builder.
Yeah, he's described, I mean, that becomes a really interesting thing. I think there's only really one reference that he's actually a carpenter, in Mark 6:3 or something like that. And, I mean, the interesting thing about that is often the idyllic picture of him is, you know, there in the little woodworking shop and doing that kind of stuff. And, okay, what was he making? Beds and furniture and stuff like that, or plows and... a lot of people, the word that's actually the Greek word
I mean, anybody in any kind of construction. And stone was the medium of most of the building there. So it probably well been the stonework or stone.
Is there any other writing on biblical about this being in the Orient or any place else or traveling or in before 30?
Oh, but no. And the only before 30, all we have really is what Luke provides, you know, the age of 12. I mean, there's all kinds of theories, and an amazing number of books have been written about travels to the Orient, travels to Egypt. That was the earliest, is that he traveled to Egypt and learned magic in Egypt. And the Orient is more kind of the philosophy, because some of the, and there are some similar things, you know, that Buddha taught and that sort of thing. And, part of that all comes out of the idea that when we don't know the early Jesus, and part of it is trying to explain, okay, where does he get his teachings and that sort of thing. But the situation is everything else. I mean, everything really, you can find roots in the Jewish tradition. You don't have to go to the Orient to find that Jesus got, you know, the basis of what he was teaching there. Everything's in the Jewish tradition. And it was a crossroads. There was a lot of things happening in that area where he doesn't have to travel. Those kind of ideas are coming to term. So all that is just really totally speculation. Okay. Well, I don't know, as far as an edifying kind of Bible study about what to do from picking up ideas about age. But this is something I'd never looked at before, and I was kind of going through looking at the numbers, and Jesus was about 30 when he started his ministry, which really was fairly young in comparison to other world religions. But it was, you know, that's the age when people accepted that people could start having those kind of leadership roles. So.
It was the Greek era in that particular part of the country that ended in, and the Romans had taken over at Jesus' time. That
well, who has the control? But, I mean, you talk about an era ending. An era, I mean, there's never any kind of one point something ends and it continues on. I mean, because the Greek language is still used.
Right.
And the Greek philosophers, they're important. It's still going on. Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
The great era of Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Literature, I think, it preceded this piece.
It preceded, yeah, but it was still very influential.
Yeah.
And, some of the great plays were still being done. And what, I mean, the fascinating thing is the discovery of theaters in Palestine, the city of Sepphoris, which is just 4 miles from Nazareth. You know, fabulous theater. Did Jesus go to the theater? Did Jesus see Greek plays? And, all this kind of stuff. I mean, and if he was a builder, if his father was a builder, the city of Sepphoris, there's a lot of construction going on there. It seems obvious that there's some kind of connection there in the influence from the Greek culture. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. One final observation. In our society, 40 always is that birthday that seems to be... a fearsome kind of thing for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look around the room this morning, most of us don't have to worry about that.
Don't have to fear 40. Okay. Yeah. In the promised land. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
Are we out of the wilderness?
Tomorrow the plan is to talk about... we're going to be talking about Jesus... the time of his ministry, and what I want to do is pick up references where Jesus goes back to the wilderness. Jesus liked to go on retreats. He loved to go to the equivalent of going to summer camp. Be very careful here. And we're going to be looking at those references in Luke, and you know, when he heads off away from the crowds and the preaching and back to the wilderness. So that's what I plan to do tomorrow. So hope to see a lot of you. Those of you who are leaving, safe travel.